Our reading today is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and it's in chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it happens to be, coincidentally or maybe providentially, the beginning, today or tomorrow, of Mental Health Awareness Week. So that is a day designated as such. And I did just want to say a little bit more about the Renew Cafe. As I said earlier, it's been about a year since we launched our Renew Cafe in person. We actually tried to launch in December now, the year before last, but of course another lockdown came along. And so we took it online on Zoom, which kind of worked a bit, but for those who are already part of us. But basically what it is that opening every Saturday morning in the building, the church building that we've got in Well Street, from 10 to 12, we provide a quiet shared space where it's okay not to be okay. And that is the strapline, really, of Renew Cafe. That is the ethos, a quiet shared space where it's okay not to be okay. And those who come along have the opportunity to engage in hobbies, in perhaps doing puzzles, perhaps playing games with others, perhaps conversation with others, or maybe just to be still. If Sheila's on cook duty, we get bacon butties. I just thought I'd throw that in. But we're not going to tell you when she's on duty, because then you might just choose those. And when others are there, we get toasted tea cakes if we want them, that sort of stuff. So we're fed and we get coffee as well. At the heart of Renew is space at about 11 a.m. on those mornings to engage in a short time of led prayer, about 5 minutes, to which any guests are welcome if they wish, because part of Renew is promoting good habits which will help in our mental health, and we believe that prayer is one of those good habits. And as I said, there are refreshments, because we do call it a cafe after all. We tend, it's quite small, really, at the moment. We tend to have between 2 and 6 guests attending. And a few here have been along, but I'm not going to tell you who. And we have a team of about 10 volunteers, with 3 or 4 helping out each week on a rota basis. There is room for more. There's room for more, both volunteers and guests. And with more of each, I guess that we might open on another day of the week as well. Saturdays is okay for some, isn't it? But maybe during the week would be okay for others. There's scope as well, I think, to open it up to whatever refugees come our way in this area. And as we've heard, there will be other facets to renew and can be, like allotments. I think there could be more still, really. There could be a renew walking group. That would be after my own heart, certainly. And there could be a renew art group, Kathy. That's not something I could lead in. And you would give up with me, trust me, if I were there. So why are we doing it? We are doing it to support people in developing good mental health. And we know that a lot of us are not okay all of the time. Who is? And we need all the help we can get. And we carry hurts from the past. We have concerns in the present. We have fears about the future. And often it all becomes too much. We put ourselves down. Other people put us down. The circumstances of life put us down. And sometimes, whether or not we are people of faith, we feel like the devil is having a right old go at us. But let me say this. God will never put us down. Nor kick us while we are down. Instead, as Psalm 145, verse 14 puts it, the Lord upholds all who fall and lifts all who are bowed down. And one of my favorite verses of scripture, which is from Isaiah 41, verse 10, that I've shared many times before. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is there for us to turn to when we can, and there for others to turn to on our behalf when we cannot. Well, what has all this got to do with our reading from Ephesians chapter 1? I believe that faith in Christ can make a tremendous difference for the good to our mental health. I've known friends healed of depression through coming to faith in Christ. I've seen people overcome low self-esteem through learning that God loves them. I've known people shake off guilt at past failures and traumas and move forward with new hope in Christ. And you may well be one of those people. Faith in Christ gives us a new beginning. And learning who we are in Christ helps us to move forward with new hope in Christ. Did you know that the most common way that the New Testament refers to people who have found faith in Christ is in Christ? Those two words in our English language is the most common way in which the New Testament refers to those who have come to faith in Christ, as in Christ. Only three times, actually, in the New Testament, and therefore in the Bible as a whole, does it call us Christians. About three times, we're called followers. About 42 times, this is a bit better, we are called believers. But Christians or followers or believers are described in the New Testament as being in Christ about 75 times. So it's a lot more. It is a huge number of times in which we're referred to in that way. And it says something about us when we come to faith, that we are regarded not merely as being followers of Christ, believers or Christians, but we are regarded as being in Christ, in all that he is, in all that he's done for us. And that's the focus of the new sermon series that we start today, that we'll be following up in our life group series from Ephesians. What it means to be in Christ. And I hope that it will give us some encouragement to be reminded of who we are in Christ and some promises to fall back on in the dark times when life gives us a kicking and mental health is dipping. So what does it mean to be in Christ? There is much more in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 1 to 14 than we will be able to cover this morning. But I want to bring five things about what it means to be in Christ. The first thing that I want to tell you is that we are holy in Christ. Verse 1 brings that to our attention. Now, I wonder how you think about yourself. How you think about yourself. Do you like yourself or don't you? If you are at a party, starting to get the opportunity again now, aren't we? If you're at a party meeting someone for the first time and they ask what you do, how do you describe yourself? Perhaps your answer begins, and this I think is very common, your answer begins, I'm just a, and you fill in the blank. I'm just a shop assistant, or I'm just a cleaner, or I'm just a housewife or a house husband. I'm just a kitchen hand. I'm just a carer, etc. It's interesting, isn't it, that no one ever says, in my experience anyway, I'm just a brain surgeon. Actually, I'm not sure I've ever met a brain surgeon, but, and I kind of hope not to. but you get the drift. And we use that little word, just, so often. And we establish a pecking order in which we are less important or unimportant compared to others. And sometimes we as Christians do that as well. And maybe we don't realize this. We say with humility, and we are, of course, called to be humble, but we might say something like, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. And it sounds very humble. And of course, it is true. When we come to Christ, we are sinners saved by grace, and we remain people who will get things wrong, to whom bad things may still happen, who have problems like everyone else in life. And yet nowhere does the Bible regard Christians as just sinners saved by grace. Listen again to the beginning of this letter to the Ephesians, this time from the King James Version. Yes, you see, I can go back there sometimes. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. It's that word again, in Christ Jesus. To the saints. Paul knew, as well as anyone, what it means to be a sinner saved by grace. He was a religious man who hated the followers of Jesus with a vengeance, quite literally. He pursued them. He persecuted them. He approved their death. He was as unholy in his way as anyone could be. But the risen Jesus met with him dramatically on the road to Damascus, and Paul became a follower of Jesus Christ. So from unholy sinner, Paul was made holy by the grace, the love of God, and he was profoundly grateful. What a wretched man I am, he said. Who will save me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. You'll find that in Romans. I forgot to put the reference down. I think it's chapter 8 though. When we come to God through faith in Christ, God sees us no longer as sinners, but as saints. Not because we are holy in our own right, but because we are made holy in Christ, because he is holy. So Christ's holiness becomes our holiness and makes us holy. And the New Testament, the King James Version, as you've heard, describes us as saints in Ephesus. In the Greek, the literal translation is holy ones, but it is the word that has been translated as saint through the ages. We are regarded as holy in Christ. We are saints. So try adding saint in front of your name. Saint Timothy. But don't you dare call me Timothy. Just Saint Tim will do. Add it in front of your name. Say it aloud if you want to. Well, a few of you did. It sounds quite good, really, doesn't it? Saint Timothy. It sounds good because it is good. We are saints. We are holy in Christ. Never just sinners saved by grace. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. And knowing who we are in Christ, as I said at the beginning, should be an immense help with us through all of life. Secondly, Paul tells us that we're blessed in Christ. After his opening greetings, Paul gives praise to God. And in verse 3, he says of God, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul brings together Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this verse, and he keeps going with praising God. In my New International Translation of verses 3 to 14, there are 8 sentences in the English, and some of them are quite long. Some of them I look at with my kind of business training, and I think there should really be more punctuation there. There should be shorter sentences. In the Greek, in which Paul wrote, in verses 3 to 14, it is one long sentence. Just one sentence. The Greeks weren't big on punctuation, I've learnt. And certainly not there, but they did have some. But Paul just keeps on going and going and going in this sentence is as if he's caught up in praise of all that God has done for him and for believers everywhere. He just keeps on going and praising and giving thanks to God. I wonder if you've ever been caught up praising God in that way. I hope so. I confess I have, but maybe not often enough. And maybe we should give more time to this. But even when we do not feel blessed on earth, we are blessed in Christ, as Paul tells us, in the heavenly realms, the spiritual realms. And Paul goes on to tell us what that means. So the third thing that I want to say is that we are chosen in Christ. Verse 4 tells us that as believers, we were chosen in him before the creation of the world. Verse 11 tells us that we are chosen according to God's divine plan to be holy. Have you ever felt unloved, inadequate, unwanted? Almost certainly at some time in your life. Our reading goes on to use the idea of adoption, and I know that for those of you who may have been adopted, that can raise profound issues. I remember the wife of a minister who had 3 children, the first 2 of which they adopted, and then the surprise, so often happens, doesn't it, of a biological child of their own. When one of the first 2 was naughty or awkward in church, she used to say with a big beam on her face, I had the choice with that one. God chooses us in Christ. He adopts us to be sons and daughters with Christ, despite our propensity to mess things up. He loves us whatever, and he adopts us into his family in Christ. And no matter our position on earth, whether we are just a cleaner, just a minister, just whatever, our position in Christ with other people is equal. We are all loved by Christ, just as much as everyone else. We are one in Christ. God doesn't love some more than others. He has sent Jesus to die on the cross for each one of us. That's how much he loves you. So we are chosen in Christ. Fourthly, I want to say we are free in Christ. Verse 7 tells us, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In the time of Moses, the people were living as slaves in Egypt. And as God's plan to save them was worked out, he told them to sacrifice a lamb without blemish, to roast it and to eat it and to daub the blood, its blood, on the doorposts of the house. And in that way, the death that was coming to the firstborn of every house in the land would pass over them. They would be free to escape Egypt and to head for the promised land. In the New Testament, Jesus becomes the Passover lamb. By his blood on the cross, Jesus has paid the price of our release and our freedom. He makes it possible for our sins to be forgiven when we turn from those sins and ask his forgiveness. We are free in Christ. Fifthly, we have a future in Christ. In verses 13 and 14, it says that you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us there is one God. The New Testament makes it clear that there is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we can know God as Father through the sacrifice of the Son and by the work of the Holy Spirit. But it gets better than that, as if that isn't good enough. Because when we believe, the Holy Spirit marks us out as belonging to God. He, because the Holy Spirit is not an it, comes to live inside of us as a guarantee of the inheritance we have as God's people. In the original Greek, I always feel a lot more comfortable when our Greek member is not here when I mention Greek, although I'd love him to be here, but he's gone to reconnect with his folks in Cyprus. But in the original Greek, the word for guarantee here in those verses is arabon. Today, in modern Greek, the word arabona means engagement ring. If you've got an engagement ring on, you might want to look at it. Think about what it meant to you at the time you received it, what it still means to you. See, the Holy Spirit is like an engagement ring that God gives us to guarantee the fullness of marriage in him, to him, when we die. And when we enter God's eternal rest, or when Jesus comes again, if that happens first. Jesus, the bridegroom, will one day come for his bride, the church, and build a new heaven and a new earth. That's what the book of Revelation tells us. So to summarize, we are holy in Christ, saints. We are blessed in Christ in the heavenly realms. We are chosen in Christ, sons and daughters of God. We are free in Christ, released and forgiven. We have a future in Christ that is guaranteed. How much we need that, don't we, when the immediate future seems so uncertain? Now, knowing these things doesn't mean that we will never experience problems in our mental, our physical, our spiritual health. But it does give us, though, some promises to cling on to when life gets tough. knowing that God has a purpose and a future for us. And I'd like to finish with some promises of Scripture and to invite you, if you want to say them with me. They're going to appear on the screen. They are all personalized for us to say, and they tell us, I'm going to move over here so I can read the screen more easily and get the same words at the same time as you. They tell us who I am, who we are, but who I am in Christ. We did use these 2 or 3 years ago, and it seemed a good time to use them again. All taken from Scripture, but I've missed the verses off there because it's just easier. Clutters it up, really. Easier not to have them there. So I want to invite you to share with me who I am in Christ. I renounce the lie that I am rejected, unloved, or shameful. In Christ, I am accepted. God says, I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord, and I am one spirit with him. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint, a holy one. I have been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been forgiven all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I renounce the lie that I am guilty, unprotected, alone, or abandoned. In Christ, I am secure. God says I am free from condemnation. I am assured that all things work together for good. I am free from all condemning charges against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. I am a citizen of heaven. I am hidden with Christ in God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. I can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I renounce the lie that I am worthless, inadequate, helpless, or hopeless. In Christ, I am significant. God says, I am the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I am a branch of the true vine, Jesus, a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed by God to bear fruit. I am a personal, spirit-empowered witness of Christ. I am a temple of God. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am a fellow worker with God. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. I am God's workmanship created for good works. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am not the great I am, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen.